The Dragon's Hoard. It was cold, but the lethal sting was off the air. The snow was melting fast, chill water dripping from the eaves, filthy tracks of stomped-up slush down the pavements, dirty slop gurgling in the gutters. The queues were already long outside the bakery and the coal merchant, bundled-up citizens ready to fight to the death for whatever had leaked into the city overnight. At the street corner, a district crier cheerfully called out the names of yesterday's denounced. Most likely he'd be at it a while.
"They've found the manager, then?"
Tallow gave a long sniff as he looked up at the bank. Before the great change, Valent and Bulk had towered over every scrap of business done in the Union, an untouchable colossus. Now, the marble skin had been stripped from the pillars of its headquarters to show the cheap bricks beneath, the word usurers slopped in red paint a thousand times all over the ruined facade. The banking hall had been picked clean, chill and empty but for broken furniture, torn papers, two or three dozen frowning constables, and dust. Commissioner Pike stood gazing up at the giant vault door, its brass wheel, its two tiny keyholes, no more than a few bright scratches on its black surface, for all the efforts of the People's Inspectorate to get inside.
"You found the manager, then?"
asked Vic. Pike glanced over as she strode up.
"Thanks to your efforts, in fact. Once that cellar in the Three Farms was shut down, there was no one to bring him food. An old woman heard him singing and alerted the authorities."
"Singing?"
"He had bricked himself into a secret space between two slum tenements owned by the bank. He had been hiding there for weeks.
Almost as uncomfortable as having Bremer Dan Gorst wedged into her tiny apartment, she imagined.
He appears to have gone quite mad."
Vic resisted the urge to ask who hadn't.
"But he did have this."
Pike held up a long steel key and offered her another. The one the senior overclerk for loans had given her the day she broke into the bank with an unloaded cannon.
"Perhaps you might help me do the honours?"
She looked up at the towering door, feeling the need for something more momentous than the turning of a little rod of metal. But that's how locks open. She slid the key into one of the keyholes and looked across at Pike as he did the same.
"On three," she said, "I suppose."
"Why ever not? One, two, three."
They turned the keys together with a gentle click.
"Constable?"
The biggest man to hand gripped the wheel, dipped his shoulder, and began to turn it. There was a whirring of well-oiled gears, then an answering clatter, faint from within, and the door began to edge smoothly open. Vic had never been that interested in money, but even she couldn't help a shiver at the thought of what might be beyond that mighty thickness of steel. Her imagination spun out heaps of gleaming coins, chests of gemstones, jeweled swords, ivory drinking horns. Incense and pearls, silks and resins too, why not? Sculpted relics of the old empire, lost works by Arapella, deeds to whole countries, the master maker's private diaries. The plunder of a barbarian army and the profits of a city of merchant princes combined. Once the gap was wide enough to slip through, it became an effort not to start forward. But Pike waited with epic patience as the vast weight of steel inched towards them and passed, and the vault of the Adua headquarters of Valent and Bulk finally stood open. It wasn't that big. A room slightly wider than the great door itself, lined floor to ceiling with shelves. And on the shelves, as Vic stepped after Pike through the vast doorway and into the heavy silence beyond, eyes gradually adjusting to the gloom, nothing. It was entirely bare. Vic had faced some disappointments, but she wasn't sure she'd ever experienced so intense an anticlimax. They moved the money long ago, murmured Pike. Vic touched a fingertip to one of the shelves and drew it along, leaving a neat trail through a light layer of dust. Sealed up in here, it might have taken years to form, decades. If there was ever any here. The power of Fallant and Bulk comes down to an empty vault. Pike sounded almost impressed. Just promises, just lies, just nothing, said Vic. Pike had started making a sort of gurgling wheeze. At first, she thought he might be choking. She was on the point of calling for help when she realized it was laughter. Of all the unexpected things she had seen since the Great Change, its chief instigator laughing his arse out in Valant and Bulk's empty vault might have been the strangest. He straightened with a final shiver of mirth, dabbing his running eyes.
Ah, dear me! A vast fortune in gold would certainly have been helpful.
It usually is, said Vic, her mind on the bribes she'd already arranged with Princess Cathil's jewels and the ones she still had to engineer. But all this really changes is the timing, Pike was saying. How is your conspiracy coming along, by the way? For a giddy moment, it didn't quite register. Vic stood there with the puzzled frown of someone who sees blood squirting but hasn't yet realized it's their own throat that slit. Her first instinct, once she picked back through his words and gathered their meaning, was to run. Her second, to fight, a habit from the camps. Her eyes darted to the vault door. Her fingers twitched to her weapons, but the place was crawling with constables. She wouldn't make it five strides. And with that certainty came an odd calm. She'd always expected to be found out. Every moment she wasn't had been coming as a surprise. She closed her eyes and took a breath. Would they kill her here, on the spot, a body found floating by the docks, as her old master Archlector Glockter had been so fond of saying? Would they drag her off to the House of Purity for questioning? Then the Court of the People for judgment, then the Tower of Chains for the long drop? Or would Pike make an exception in her case, for irony's sake, and send her back to the camps in Angland? Tallow had nothing to do with it, she said. A mistake, of course, breaking all her own rules yet again. She might as well have torn her shirt open and pointed out the exact position of her heart. But it was a mistake she couldn't help making, as if she wanted, at the end, to have done one thing worth doing. You like the boy, don't you? Pike's face was a mask again. There's no shame in liking someone. I like you, in fact, far more than most. To put both Brocks and King Orso together in one scheme? Ambitious, to combine such volatile ingredients. Reckless, even. Not at all what I expected. You always struck me as cautious to a fault.
I always was, said Vic.
She thought of Sybalt then, that sad little smile in the half-light of the foundry before the end. But the time comes, she supposed she could allow herself a little flourish.
You have to stand up.
Yes. Pike's burned lips curled back from his teeth. There is the lesson the camps taught me. He turned from the empty shelves to consider her and took a long breath through his nose and let it sigh away. Then he gave a neat little nod. Proceed. There was a heavy silence in the vault, a muffled banging from somewhere behind, where the constables must have found something still worth smashing. Again, it took a moment for Vic to catch up. Then she gently cleared her throat.
What?
The Great Change has done its work.
Its work?
A wise man once told me that sometimes, to change the world, we must first burn it down. But Judge is a fire out of control. The time has come to douse the flames and restore order before everything is reduced to ashes.
So,
the silence stretched between them.
Proceed?
Exactly. I wish I could offer you help beyond turning a blind eye, but I fear, under the present circumstances, there is no one in the inspectorate that I fully trust. No one but you, of course, Inspector. Pike turned back to consider the empty shelves, clasping his hands behind him. It really has become almost impossible these days to tell where people stand. Vic stood and stared at him for a long moment.
You don't fucking say, she muttered.
Outside in the chilly street, the snow was still melting, the queues still stretching, the crier still busy with his list of doomed names.
You look pleased, said Tallow, still hugging himself. Must have been a lot of money in that vault.
A rare smile was forming on Vic's face.
It was empty.
She wasn't sure how it had happened, but she was starting to think they had a chance. If Pike was with them, or at least not against them, if Lord Marshal Forrest and the young lion could do their part without killing each other, if Bremerdan Gorst could stay out of sight, if King Orso could keep his mouth shut, if they could avoid disasters for only a few more days, they had a chance.
And finally, roared the crier with a parting flourish, accused of profiteering and speculation, exploitation and grand usury, betrayal of the great change, royalism and incest, citizeness Savine Brock.
Vic's smile was gone as quickly as it had come.
Fuck, she whispered.